Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Again this morning. It's a real blessing to be here and worship the Lord together this morning. Do you believe that? That it's a blessing to be here in this quiet peace. Gather together with like people that rallying around a common cause. Worshiping Jesus together. It's a beautiful thing. I'm thankful to be here. I don't have enough fingers to mark all the songs. Must have been the Spirit's work this morning. Because pretty much, I don't know if you noticed the theme through the songs we sang, but it could pretty much preach my message if you'd have paid attention to everything you sang this morning. But I'll just point out a few of them before we get started. The very first song, our theme song, the third verse says, "Let me be brave and strong, patient to suffer wrong, hardship endure, ready at thy command to enter any land, always for thee to stand loyal and sure." And then all the other songs talked about the cross, hard things we're facing, heartaches, in 192, dangers, being a soldier of the cross, marching on. Every song that we sang fit right with my message, so thank you for all those that chose those songs. To start with, you can turn to Ezekiel 22. We're only just going to read one verse there. We might be taking it a bit out of context. God was speaking to the children of Israel here. They had, of course, turned away from him, kind of like we looked in our Sunday school lesson this morning. They had turned away, and he was speaking to them. He was promising judgment. But verse 14, "Can thine heart endure, or thine hand be strong in the days that I shall deal with thee?" It's a question that God was asking the children of Israel. Can thine heart be strong? And then just leave that. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to take my title out of these two verses, two different verses, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Start 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." I think we'll just stop there. We've had several sermons out of Timothy, not real long in the recent past, but I just want to pick out verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." So my title is, "Can thine heart endure hardness?" Just want to ponder that for a little bit this morning. Can I endure hardness? Can I endure hard things? You listen to those songs we were singing. It's promised that we're going to have hard things, right? Do I have what it takes when life gets hard to be a good soldier, like Paul was talking about here, to Timothy? He was encouraging him to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I don't know what all goes through your mind when you think of hardness and facing hardness, hard times, hard things, enduring, difficulties. It's probably not really a warm, fuzzy feeling, right? I mean, that's not. We as humans aren't naturally bent toward loving hard things. We don't see something hard and usually see something hard. We're not like just reaching out for it, trying to bring it on. Our tendency is to turn and move away from hard things, back up. No, and it's the these are a general rule. I mean, there is some people that seem to love hard things. They appear to love tasks. They love what's required for endurance. They put themselves into it, but that's usually because they have a goal. You know, either they're trying to win a race or there's some reward that they're getting, and it appears like they love it. But I think if you talk to them, it's not that they love the hard things, it's just that they love the reward at the end that comes from doing hard things. There are people that know that hard things are good for me. But again, it's not our natural tendency. It's not natural to want to go through hardships. And it seems like maybe especially here in America, and we touched on this some already, like in our Sunday school lesson, a couple of these thoughts were touched on. Our whole culture is geared toward making life easier, right? Faster, more efficient. We want our food to be ready in the drive-thru in 5 minutes max, right? If we have to wait till 10, that's a hardship. If we have to wait 10 minutes in the drive-thru, Chick-fil-A, we don't want to sit, or we do want to sit on our couch, right, and order from Amazon, have our order dropped off at our door. We hate when we're ordering from Amazon, you know, have to do them a couple extra clicks. It's great to Jeff Bezos has come up with that one-click button, right? For ordering things, we can stand in our warm house and start our vehicle out there in the cold so that the seats are warm when we get out there. It's a basic human right to have cell phone, high-speed internet everywhere we go. It's a hardship when we can't connect for a while, we think. Our whole culture is geared toward making our life easier. Just think about for a little bit what used to be the view of an American of heroes, not just American, but through history. Who was held up as a hero? Well, usually it was someone that was a strong person, usually a military general. We were talking about statues this morning in Sunday school. What's of those that were strong men that stood up, conquered chaos, we say. They came in and brought order. They did, you know, strong men who did dangerous, risky things to help those around him or help those that followed him. Go clear back into the Bible, there's military leaders that we hold up and honor as being strong. Or more recent in American history, you know, if you read stories of the Wild West, you know, who was the hero there? It was the sheriff or the ranger that came into town and brought order to chaos. Strong men who endured hardship for the good of those that they served. Now think about that's kind of shifted a bit. Who's our heroes today? Not our heroes, but the cultural people that we tend to look up to. Seems like it's shifted a bit, right? The highest paid people, what's the managers, business executives, the person that can optimize your business or your personal life just to get everything to flow smoothly. We don't want any hitches. We want our business, you know, we want to be able to predict everything, eliminate any possibility of chaos, right? We want a frictionless, optimized life where the outcomes are controlled, predictable, and the possibility of our life or business being out of control is eliminated. So Americans tend to idolize those people today. So what am I trying to say? Am I saying we shouldn't order off Amazon or go through the drive-thru or have our business optimized to run efficiently? No, I mean, we all use those things. They're okay things, but I just want us to think about our mindset that we can develop toward hardness. We read these verses, we sang those songs. It's kind of a total opposite picture, right? There's hardness, things we need to endure, things we need to face. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be predictable. We're not going to be able to always look ahead and see what the outcome is going to be. So how we view, our worldview affects how we view this verse, or or cultural view, let's say. It'd be a totally different. If I was preaching this sermon, let's say, in North Korea this morning, where there's 400,000 Christians, where just owning a Bible was good, they could be killed for it. Or at the very least, many of them are sent into hard labor when it's discovered that they're a Christian, put in hard labor camp for the rest of their life. Or if we were studying this verse in Nigeria, where there's a Christian killed every 2 hours, around the clock, that's the average. Every 2 hours, a Christian dies in Nigeria today. If we read these verses there, it would come across different. We for sure wouldn't have to do what I did, was ask myself the question, if we were one of those countries, we wouldn't have to ask ourselves the question, do I really know what it means to endure hardness? Or am I prepared for if harder things come in our life? I think we're naive to think that the life we live now is going to continue forever. Well, I mean, we know it's not, but not to cause fear, but it could change quicker than we'd like to think. That we could face things a lot harder than what we are now. So am I prepared for that? So I studied, meditated, a couple things became clear to me. We have this thought and ask this question like I just did. Do I have what it would take to stand up to persecution and to remain faithful in really hard things? I think, and we'll see this in scripture here in a bit, but the answer is that we can just look at how we're responding to the lesser hardships now, right? It still takes the same faith, the same endurance to be a Christian in America today as it would to face persecution. It's just probably the biggest difference is that we could be a hypocrite longer here in America. It's easier to be a hypocrite and to hide it if we're not genuine. But it's the same faith. We need the same faith to endure hardness, regardless of when it is and what form it takes. And the second thing is that there are hard things that we need to face right here in Tehran, wherever we live, in America. There are hard things that we need to face and we need to endure. Yes, we live in relative ease, but the Bible says, John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And it's a guarantee that we will have it. We do have it. And life is going to be harder for us as a follower of Jesus, no matter where we live. And we're called to take up our cross daily and follow him, which implies that it's work. Carrying a cross is not easy. So what are some of the current hard things that we need to face that call for us to endure this morning? Just want to ponder a few of these areas that I thought of that call for endurance, and then we'll look at numerous different passages that'll give us some tips and helps for enduring, some keys to enduring. First and probably the biggest battle that I thought of that we face, the hardship that we face, is right in our own heart, right? You can turn to Romans 7. Paul describes this fairly well, this battle that goes on inside of each of us every day. Just read how Paul describes it here. Romans 7. Start reading at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not, for what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who should deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's a very real picture of the battle that goes on inside of our hearts each day. It's not easy. It can be hard. Satan is determined from the day one when you become a Christian. He's determined to undermine you, to discourage you, to undermine your commitment to Christ. And it's not just a casual interest that he has in destroying us. It's an all-out war. Those verses that describe it as we war not against principalities and powers, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't have the whole verse there, but you have the idea. It's an all-out war. He wants to trip us up. He wants to get you to fall, to get you discouraged, to wear you down. And if you want to remain faithful to the end, the battle will be hard. It'll take some endurance. We face many things that pull us away and distract us. It's a constant barrage of things. Come at us from every angle. Like I said earlier, we live in a culture where of easy things. But that doesn't mean that we're any less busy. And that's something that we war against, is being too busy to spend time with God and to seek out his word and spend time in prayer. And when we do take time, we're easily distracted. Another personal thing that we have to endure sometimes is, and some of you know more about this than others, is the physical limitations and sickness that we face. Again, this is something that Paul is an example of. He talked about, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Let's read a couple of verses there. Corinthians 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, why, rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of God, of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn was, of course, but it was obviously a chronic and debilitating problem that he had. It was a hindrance to his ministry. It was something he prayed and asked God repeatedly that it be removed from him. God didn't remove it. We know what it's like to be sick, and some of you might have terminal, or things that just don't go away. They plague you all the time. It's a hard thing. I don't think we should underestimate the discouragement they can bring to face sickness or pain day after day. Can be discouraging. Cause doubt at times in the goodness of God. But again, it's a tactic of the devil to make us weak. He loves when our doubts turn from just doubts to bitterness and resentment. It's a hard thing that we need to endure today. another area that calls for us to endure, moving away from our personal, is in our homes and family life. There's hard things. Is it easy to have a peaceful, disciplined home? It's an obvious answer. It's hard work to raise a family for God, and it doesn't just happen on its own. And it doesn't just happen in one day. We can get it right one day, but it's a marathon, raising our families. I had to think of what the Bible said about Eli. Of course, this was a negative example. It says he restrained not his sons, and they brought him to shame. Eli, he was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. But he failed the primary calling in his life, to care for his family and to discipline his sons. On the positive side, there's Abraham and Isaac, and that beautiful picture of them walking up the mountain together, the trust that Isaac had in his dad. It wasn't just accidental or happenstance. It took work for Abraham to instill that level of trust and respect. We as dads here have many things we're responsible for. We have to provide, we have to run our business. We have responsibilities at work, at church, maybe at school. These things are good and right, but don't forget or neglect your primary responsibility of your wife and family. And that's hard. It can feel like a hardship sometimes. It takes enduring. It can sap a lot of energy out of us. We're just tempted when we come home to leave some things slide because it'd be easier. But let's endure hardness in raising our families. A couple other areas briefly that we need to endure. You can add to your list whatever has been coming to your mind. It takes endurance in church life. It takes endurance. It takes some hardships to have a brotherhood like we have here, to have quality relationships with each other. It doesn't just happen. Doesn't just fall in our lap. When you have a group of people trying to work together, there's going to be differences of opinion, differences of conviction. There's going to be hurts and misunderstandings. People are going to offend us. It's going to take some forgiveness and some love. They're not easy things. But endure hardness as a good soldier. Lastly, it's not easy. One of the things that I think I've thought of that we need to endure, it's not easy to be a faithful, steady witness in the workplace or in our communities. It's not always the easiest road to be honest and have integrity in our businesses. Again, back to the culture that we live in, it's kind of every man looks out for himself and gets all that he can get by whatever means necessary. Jesus calls us to a much higher standard of giving in and looking out for others, taking wrongs cheerfully, and always being honest. Again, that takes some enduring and some enduring hardness. Now, for the last part of the message, I want to look at a couple passages that just have some keys or an encouragement for how can we endure. How can we face the hard things that are in our life and come out victorious and come out strong and be a winner in this battle? Start with Romans 5. Romans 5, we read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. See in these verses that we must have a firm foundation if we're going to be able to endure. And that foundation is, back in verse 1, is faith in Jesus. We have to have that foundation in place. And we talked about earlier, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? We have to have that firm in our minds if we're going to endure hardship. Do you have the peace and confidence in your relationship with Jesus? And in verse 2, it talks about standing in the grace. Standing in grace. That's a place of privilege, to stand there under God's grace, be called His son. Are you confident in your sonship? That's probably the number one key to being able to endure, is knowing who we are and where we stand. This fight is impossible in our hand. It won't last very long at all in our own strength. And then verse 3, Paul points out that these hardships or tribulations, as he calls them here, he points out what they will do for us. They bring growth in our lives. They see the progression here of the building. Tribulation brings patience, brings experience, brings hope. Brings joy, brings not ashamed. I know who I am, I know what I believe. It also talks there about the Holy Spirit. And that's another key part for enduring, is having the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Instead of despising hardship, thank God for them, like Paul did here, because there's going to be growth. Another passage, James chapter 1, for another key. James 1, and we'll read verses 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, trying your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, this is some similar thoughts as the last passage we read. James says here that there's cause for rejoicing when we face temptation, when we face hardship. Why? Because it shows what we're really made of. And it shows us that if we're truly desiring to grow, we'll embrace trials, we'll embrace hardships, and we'll see them as good things and not things to run from, not negative things. 2 Thessalonians 1, read a couple verses there. Thessalonians 1, we'll start at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye suffer. The thing that stood out to me here was he talked about how that their faith growing, and it also brought charity one to another. Whenever we're as a body like this, when we face hard things and we do it together, we bear each other's burdens. It draws us together in charity toward each other. We support one brother that's facing hard times, It builds us all up. I'm sure that's something we've all experienced. Flip over yet to 2 Thessalonians 3. Verses 1 through 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things that we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Paul says, pray for us. Again, back to this thought of facing hardships together. A key part of that is prayer, praying for each other. You know, somebody, one of our brothers going through a hard time, or sister, pray for them. Tell them you're praying for them. Bear them up. So we're not any, I mean, it's important that we are praying ourselves, for ourselves, we're going through hard times, but also that we share the power of prayer on a struggling person's behalf, on our, with our struggling brother or sister. And we will be delivered, Paul says. We may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And the Lord will be faithful to establish you. It's a beautiful picture there. I'm going to close with Hebrews 12, yeah? Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing that you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're in the middle of enduring, it's easy to get self-focused and just look down at the ground, like we talk about putting our nose to the grindstone. As the saying goes, it's how it can be sometimes. Let's remember the many thousands of millions, or millions, talks about this great cloud of witnesses of those that went before us and our testimony of the fact that it's possible to endure. It's possible to get the rewards that are promised to the faithful, to those that endure until the end. And again, he emphasizes here, looking unto Jesus. Keep that central in your mind. Look unto Jesus. He's the author. He's the beginning of our path. And he's the end. And he'll be there with you every step of the way, even when it's hard and dark. We're not sure which way to turn. Jesus is there. So back to where we started. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. It's my prayer for each one of us. Let's kneel for prayer.